Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, to this first weekend in June 2018. It's another Sunday night, 9 p.m., time for another An Emerging Forest episode. And these last weeks have been very eventful, both from an Emerging Forest perspective with fabulous guests, and last week's fabulous guests, the folks from the Touch Mother Earth Festival, have wound down their festival this weekend. It was Friday through today. I have not reached out and contacted them, have not had the opportunity yet. I'd really like to get an update on how their wonderful festival went and all the great things that they had happen up in Washington, New Jersey, and Warren County. And it's been a continuing transition for me. I'm now in a new apartment, and it was quite a journey to get here. It was a journey of seeing what was in the marketplace and seeing what was not in the marketplace. And what was not in the marketplace was rooms for a reasonable price. So along with a few really good friends who loaned me the money, I looked around and had help looking around and found a three-bedroom apartment pretty close to where my garage is for my business, someplace that I can bicycle 4 minutes and get back and forth, 4 minutes one way, so, and, you know, walk back and forth relatively easily, so that's a good thing, sort of a required thing if you're going to keep your business going. And then I began the search after I signed the lease. It was a time of having faith, and having faith in the advice of people who have faith in me, and having faith that the thing I couldn't find in the market was actually in very short supply. And it turns out that rooms in this area that are in a really reasonable neighborhood at a really reasonable price are in very short supply. And I was immediately inundated with people who wanted to come look, who immediately wanted to apply. And I was very strict with myself and how I did that. It was on a first-come, first-served basis. And so I have a younger lady who had to do some modifications to satisfy her wishes for buffers from the quote-unquote, you know, hold your nose men. And then I was lucky enough to find out on one of my looking for or finding recycled ice packs for my business. I discussed my situation with the person I was getting the ice packs, and she had a contact who was literally three doors down from her who was looking for a room. So that was a very nice coincidence to get people that way who would fit together. Now, it's, you know, as the organizer, it is a lot of work, but as the organizer, as the person looking into the market and saying, what I want in the market isn't in the market, so I actually have to create what I want, you do take a lot on your, a lot more on your plate. You take a financial risk, you take a market risk, you take a lot of other risks onto your plate, but you do so gladly. Because literally you're not being served by the market, so you have to go find the tools and find the knowledge and find all these other things and actually make them yours and actually acquire these other skills that you didn't have and build or create or cause to happen this roof over my head. And it wasn't exactly straightforward. Walk up to somebody, say, I'd like a room in your place. Oh, this is very nice. And settle down. There was a lot of, and continues to be a lot of, I'm the contact. I'm the person who signed the lease. I'm not subletting. I'm leasing with permission of the landlord, so he knows who the other people are here. So it's not a sublet. It's a very interesting gratifying situation to have found two people who fit with me and who are reasonable people. There were other reasonable people in line. I'm not saying that there weren't other reasonable people, but the first two people in line who passed the assessments that were handed down by the landlord are the two people that I chose. So that's also an interesting, you know, looking into the market, not seeing what you want, and having to go back to market square one. I mean, what do you do when you look at a society that just doesn't have the service outlets that you want? It just doesn't speak to what you are looking for. The shop that you're looking for on the corner that sells what you want does not exist. You have to start from an empty, you start at an empty foundation. Maybe you don't even start at a foundation. You just start, and you start walking forward and seeking, and things come to you because your soul is longing for something that doesn't exist. And there's a lot of falling down and skinning your knees. So if where I'm going is resonating with you, and you are live on June the 3rd, a little bit after 9 o'clock. Call-in number to talk to me and to talk about this issue is 646-564-9714. So when I started to look at society and I started to look at how it was functioning and what it did and what all the pieces were, I didn't find what I was looking for. And as I have continued to journey, I know more in depth than I knew then about society, and I'm more certain of its non-functional nature. It's non, it misses me as a market. Its target is elsewhere. Its target is not me. I'm not served by it. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't capture my journey. It doesn't capture my footsteps. So as a result of that, like my produce club, which didn't exist before I started to build it, I have a larger vision. And my larger vision is beginning with produce club and beginning with more nutritious foods and changing people's thinking capability, not their thinking capability, by putting more nutritious foods in their diet. I don't tell them that. I say, hey, this is an option. It's better priced. Do you want to come eat more fruits and veggies? I don't tell them what my agenda is. Why should I? Oh, I want you to manifest a brain based on better nutrition, a body based on better nutrition. It's basically, does this offering reach out to you and resonate with you? I don't have to tell you the why. I don't think that the people that I serve would disagree, would say, no, I don't want a better, I don't want to eat more in line with my physiology and have waste in my system as a result of eating what you offer me because I'm eating more whole plants. So in preparation for tonight's episode, I was saying, okay, do I want to talk about passion? Do I want to talk about all of the things that I normally talk about? And I was paging through Facebook, and I saw the Meta Prayer that is the cover image for tonight's program, and stopped right there and looked at that and reacted in my mind. I believe I wrote a post on it on Facebook. And so I'd like to sort of discuss the offering of the society that we live in, which is echoed in this Meta Prayer, and why it doesn't serve me. And maybe you're interested in those thoughts. So the Meta Prayer is as follows. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings awaken to the light of their true nature. May all beings be free. So, at the beginning of each one of those sentences is a conditional. And since my transition after my mother's death, and since my many transitions after that, I read words as mathematics, because literally you're being asked to accept something and you're being asked to accept the proposition. And the proposition is a conditional. And the proposition is, for the third line, may all beings be safe. What that conditional says is that all beings are not safe, and it would be a good thing if they were. May all beings be safe means that some are unsafe. So this is actually the place I started my post on Facebook today, just with that one line. So let's dig a little bit into that one line. If it's proposed, may all beings be safe, there are some places and some things and some actions that are deemed to be unsafe. And the prayer is that may all beings avoid being in those situations so that they can be safe. So what that says is in the present state, in the present scenario, in the present area of actions that you can access to have experiences, places that you should avoid in order to be safe. There's things that you should cross the street or not book in your plans for experience. Now, this is very interesting. Say you have 100 million choices of things to do, all of which your soul needs in order to populate itself, in order to have really had those experiences. But a certain percentage of them, let's say 10%, to be safe. By this code, whatever code it is, and codes, of course, have malleable, oh, this section over here is unsafe, but in this code over here of what's safe, it's a different set. That's a topic for another night. But may all beings be safe says that you shouldn't go out and experience the whole world. That part of your foundation for your building doesn't involve you going into that area of the foundation and actually being in it and making that foundation strong. You can skip those areas because they're unsafe. So your building is actually weak in those areas that you don't go experience. Now, this is not emotion. We're already passed into a society in which some things are deemed unsafe, in which some conduct is deemed taboo, in which some things that I could now tell you as those things are quote-unquote things that you should experience, you would look at me and you would say, I'm not going to do that. But it's a possibility, and it's a possibility for the foundation of your building. So regardless of how we feel about it, it's something that needs to be done. Now, there's many, many things that we can look at and say, oh, I wouldn't put that in my mouth, and I'm not going to hold my hand over a burning fire, and many, many other things. But at one point in your existence, you will have done that. You will understand, hey, if I put my hand over the fire, I'm going to get burned. By experience, not by somebody telling you that you shouldn't put your hand over the fire. You've actually done it. You've actually experienced it. It's in your repertoire. So this code proposed by this meta prayer creates beings whose foundation is weak. There are many, many philosophies that have thing, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, as part of what they do. And what I'm saying is, mathematically, those philosophies create people with weak foundations. Those philosophies create people one day. This part of the foundation is not to be explored. The next day, trends might have changed and new rules might be written into the doctrine, and you cannot explore all of the areas that you couldn't before, but now there's new areas that you can't explore. This happens all the time. called government. It's called creeping government. It's called creeping regulation. And what happens is nature doesn't have rules. Nature doesn't have ethics. Nature doesn't have places that it doesn't explore. Nature is free flowing into every area. So what happens as a result of government, of creeping moralistic views, is that the lion looks at the humans and says, what are these humans doing? They're not being the humans that I remember, the humans of 100,000 years ago, the humans of 1,000,000 years ago. They're now walking around with all of this guidebook that basically says they can't be humans because there's all of these actions that are deemed unsafe. There's all of these ways of expressing themselves that are deemed as being not correct. But in order to be a human, you need to explore those areas yourself and figure out for yourself so that you can react in situations where you know what's right or what's right for the situation, or you know, hey, I shouldn't do that because of this consequence, but you know it yourself. You don't know it from a second party or a third party, because somebody can shift the doctrines around. Somebody can say, well, we want to take these actions away from the people so that we can dominate them by creating fear about those particular things, which is kind of what goes on today in this society, where certain perceptions are created, certain science is worshipped, whether it be right or wrong, and people are subservient. People get in the cars, people see university as being a great accomplishment to go to and to have passed through, because you can hold up a piece of paper and you can get a job in an office building, or you can get a job doing a particularly well-respected task, and you get pieces of paper that are absolutely worthless, and you go to a store and you eat bad food. You're a client. But you're not a client when you're at that level. If you're not, when you're having that experience and it's hitting you and it appeals to you, oh, bless me. And it's experience that your soul wishes to have and doesn't see through. You're in the water and you're in that aquarium, and it's okay. It's okay for me to look at people who are in that experience. It's okay for them to be having that experience. But I'm talking as someone who is somehow not served and who has to look beyond and create something that I would like. I'm an artisan or a silly, unmarketed soul, a soul who's basically trying to put their foot down on the next experience and can't find a place to put the foot down, so I have to build my own place to put my foot down that I'll like. It's after having lived a life of being dissatisfied and looking around and saying, why am I dissatisfied? Why doesn't any of this fit with me? To actually understand it, to understand why all of these things don't attract me, all of these things that everybody else is just head over heels in love with, just don't attract me at all. And people say, well, gee, Alan, you're not enthused by this. You're not attracted to this. Maybe you need to do something hard in society. So I go do something that's quote-unquote hard for people. I get a really good job, and it just doesn't satisfy me. my soul yanks me out of that experience. It says, now we're going to do something that's going to teach you a lot about society, and it's going to be painful. You need to learn these things by experiencing them and by seeing yourself and by understanding yourself, by understanding some of what you are. So at this point, I'm going to take the bottom of the hour break, and I'm going to play one of my favorite songs, which I hardly ever get to play anymore, because it's a longer song. It's Dave the Bard, Green and Gray.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm far. Dominion.
To International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We had a productive break. So, what we end up with is we end up with a prayer that I'll read once more. It has a particular message to it. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings awaken the light of their true nature. May all beings be free. May all beings be free. And that leaves you, or it leaves me, as a client, basically saying, oh, I wish there was some way that these things could come through. May all these things be true. I pray, which is why it's called a prayer. May all these things be true. May all these things happen. That would be, I have hope. I pray. I see things be true. But within this is your knowledge through this exhortation that some things out there aren't as you wish them to be. And therefore, there's a subset of what's out there that actually is the stuff that you're voyaging toward. And you restrict yourself to a subset of what's available. Right away, you have a dysfunctional nature. Right away, you don't like part of yourself. Because as you are now, you're more than where you'll put your feet down. You're basically saying, I have accepted this contract to be less than I am. Many people do it. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of the people who would maybe reword this to say, all beings are peaceful. All beings are happy. All beings are safe. Beings have awakened to the nature of themselves that they can hold with their present perspective. And all beings are free because they're doing exactly what they want to be doing, exactly what their soul needs is what they're doing right now. And I would extend that so that's not a prayer. That's not a position of fear. Oh, I wish, or I pray. Somehow these things will come true. No, it's a statement that this is how things are now. All beings are as they should be. All beings might come to accept the universe as it is and to be happy with every single experience that comes to them because every single experience is safe and their soul has actually pulled it on a rope to come to them. Their soul has actually manifested their life in order to bring experiences that it needs to partake in so that it can build its foundation in the most strong manner it possibly can. And it's when you see the borders in this society, now of course I'm not telling anybody, hey, go do something taboo or illegal, but when you see the borders in the society, check in with yourself. Do you need experience in some of these areas? So, what I'm talking about tonight, I'm talking about expanding your horizons by going to your edges, considering all places safe, going to your edges and expanding your opportunities for experience. Whereas some philosophies or most philosophies that you'll find out there have restrictions on where you can go and what you can do. There's guardrails and accepting. Have someone say, well, this part of the fruit has been deemed to be unsafe, so you shouldn't eat it. And then 10 years later, oh, we have done further tests and figured out this additional part of the fruit is unsafe, so that you shouldn't eat it. But wait a minute. I'm having a different experience, and it's less of an experience than people 50 years ago had, or people 100 years ago had. Or why not just change your philosophy and say, I'm not interested in having another party govern my life. That you might have to go out and basically put on a mask and say, yes, I'm a, bow, 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 I'm a good client. Yes, a very good client. you know, bob the head, you know, bow, you know, publicly, big smile on your face. But in private, you understand the mathematics. You understand that there's a larger field to be played on, and that you need to, if it strikes you as being something that you need, if it comes to your doorstep, then you need to go out and put your foot down on it in a way that guards other portions of your life. Or maybe you need to give something up in order to get what you need. This is about fertility, the fertility of your soul. This is about understanding in more depth who you are. And understanding the nature of a soul and whether or not your needs are being met, and understanding this skeletal functionality of what souls do and how souls expand, and then understanding laid down on top of the whole actions, the society that you're birthed into, not by mistake, on purpose, so there's no frustration there, and then understanding what you can do within that society that's wise in your own eyes to expand your soul. If you have to do something completely off the wall, you're going to pay a penalty for it. But maybe you need to do that in order to see yourself in a different light. Maybe that's your mentally breaking free of who you were, putting yourself under a different, maybe you had to do something drastic in order to be able to begin to think. Thank you so much for listening to this program. It really means a lot to me. I began doing these programs essentially almost a year and a half ago. This is a year and 5 months ago. Began on the 8th of January, 2017. And I've met a lot of very interesting people, and I hope that this adventure, this task that I've taken upon myself has allowed me to gain some skills and allowed me to have to do some things that caused me to gain some skills. For some reason, I'm not. Maybe according to one of my mentors in this field, I'm not as professional about it as I should be. And I'd like to take those things to heart and make myself more professional and more of a better reactor and more of a good listener and a good partner to interview, a good interviewer, a good listener, someone who the theme of the show, instead of letting other people run away. You know, sometimes they need to run away, but it's the theme of the show, and sticks up for the show. And uh, my main thing that I'm creating, as I talked about earlier in the show, is a produce business, and I haven't broken any paradigms. I haven't changed agriculture. I'm just accessing lower cost wholesale produce from the city of Philadelphia, which happens to be just across a bridge from where I live, literally 5 minutes from where I live by car. And it's interesting because in port towns, there's terminal markets, and there's basically a fountain of produce that's in bulk. And that fountain of produce that's in bulk is a lot cheaper than the retail grocery stores that we were taught to shop in when we were younger. And many people still shop in them to this day. I can buy produce same quality level or better quality level because produce at wholesalers doesn't sit around like produce at grocery stores. Grocery stores are sort of an end display, and I'm dealing with a middleman who's basically wants to sell it and get it off of his hands as quickly as possible and turn over their supply and get next week's supply in and sell it, and next week's supply in and sell it. Or the local retailer, it's on their shelves until it's sold or until they're in no condition that they can sell it. So it doesn't turn over as quickly there. So it's just by that method or that accounting, it's just not as fresh. In addition to that, so that quality level is cheaper for many, many things. You can get a factor of two or a factor of three cheaper, just the same quality level or a little bit better quality level, and of course you have a much wider market selection. So if you're in a town that is a port, if you're in a Los Angeles, a Miami, a New York City, a Philadelphia, a Baltimore, in Atlanta, Chicago, San Diego, a port town. If you're in a port town, you're going to have a wholesale market. And in those wholesale markets, you're going to be able to find produce that's better, that's fresher, as it turns over faster, and you're also going to be able to find when that same produce might get ripe, they can't sell it. When the date on it is coming due, they can't sell it. When they have an odd lot left over and they need to move it, in all of those cases, they discount it further. And they discount it and they discount it until it just becomes an absolute nuisance and they have to get rid of it for storage reasons or for age reasons, and they discount it the lowest possible price. And at every single point along that discounting curve or discounting journey, I buy. And I turn that extreme savings off of very, very nice produce. I give that to the members of my club, what I do. And I make money, of course I make money. But the people who I serve get excellent product for a really nice price. And as I said at the beginning, that's a feature that I didn't even know that I was creating a new thing by doing that. I guess I'm not really creating a totally new thing because there are other people who do shop at the wholesale market and sell in neighborhoods. But I wasn't being served by one of those, and I wanted to eat whole produce, so I had to go create such a thing. So maybe I'm getting practice for creating new things that don't exist, but I kind of had practice for creating new things that didn't exist by being an author and just writing down fanciful notions. or by creating software, by being a manager, a software manager at a small company in Princeton, New Jersey, where a customer would bring an idea or the boss would basically say, hey, I proposed this idea, can you build this? And basically having nothing and creating a software platform, creating up the whole thing from basically zero, managing a team of software engineers and basically understanding what the requirements were and working to that goal, which is basically creating an object out of nothing, basically putting it together from pieces and from functions that existed, but then it works and it serves and it gets purchased or it is purchased by a client. It's the same thing with the Produce Club. Something didn't exist and now it exists and it serves people and they're very pleased with it. So it really starts with seeing what you're being served with and not being happy with it. And then being, I guess I was so disappointed for so many years that I basically said, I have to do this. I have to create a place for my foot to be, for my walk to be. And it doesn't really matter how long that takes because there's nowhere for me here to enjoy myself. I'm just not served. So I have to do what I'm doing. So all beings are peaceful. All beings are doing peacefully the gift to themselves and the gift to all others, regardless of what they're doing. All beings are happy in receiving those gifts. But within society's restrictions and morals, they're taught to be unhappy with what they're receiving. They're taught to be unhappy with using their bodies in all of the possible ways that one can use one's body and one's mind. And within this more elaborate and more allowed dance, of course, everyone is safe. And those people who wish to be conscious of the process, huge grin on their face, because no one needs these notions from the society called forgiveness. No one needs to be slapped on the wrist and told you're a sinner, because such notions are ridiculous. And then everyone is free to explore and free to be themselves and free to accept without stigmatism how they feel and what they feel like doing today or what they feel like doing as a career. Whereas today there's diminishing things that you can do. You can't say, well, gee, I want to take a large area of land away from the states. Basically make that into a forest and be free within that area. You wouldn't say, well, gee, let's do that. Let's just take the area of Pennsylvania and New Jersey and say, that's now the forest. Or to say something like, I'm going to take the Delaware watershed and say, that's now the forest. And we're going to do things by, you know, we're going to do things by the opposite of government within the, within those boundaries. We're going to release people to be who and what they think they should be. I don't quite have a grasp on where that's going, but I have a grasp on the fact that I kind of want to go there, or that I do want to go there. And I do want to make an area which is a polar opposite to dysfunctional nature, which is what we have pretty much everywhere, everywhere that government has its fingers. Government and banking and roads and globalism have their fingers into. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alan Ritter. I host an Emerging Forest every Sunday night at 9 p.m., and it can go from 1 to 2 hours. If you're interested in being on the show, please send me an email at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I'm interested to hear your story, and there's lots of Sunday nights that are open for you to come on and be on the radio and have a podcast. Be able to link that podcast from YouTube onto your website. It doesn't cost anything. Let's do a little. You need to do a little bit of preparation work, and then you'll have something that can market for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and something that can basically speak for you while you're asleep. Say, hi, I'm so-and-so. Here's how I think. Here's what I think about certain things. Do you agree with me? While you're fast asleep, you know, going wherever we go when you're asleep, when we're asleep, there's your YouTube video speaking for you. And that's what I offer. That's one of the things that I offer. Thank you for taking time out of your week to think about your passions, to think about your edges, to expand your capability as a being into other areas, to not be afraid to do that, and to take it upon yourself to say, who am I beyond the day-to-day? And am I being served by the society that I live in? Or do I see that opportunity is diminishing and fertility is diminishing? And do I believe in that? Do I believe in continual less and less and less opportunity and more and more and more talk about a safe society and how we need to be safe and how less and less things are seen as being safe and more things are demonized? Have a great night. See you next week. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.